Hello, welcome. It's the Outspoken Beauty Podcast. I'm Nicola Bonn, and I have got the best episode in store for you. It is jam-packed. So our big guest is Freya Ridings. She's a singer and a songwriter. She's got the most amazing red hair, and she is obsessed with beauty. We're going to be talking to her about her musical journey and her beauty journey. Beauty came at a really interesting point in her life, and she's also just going to recommend so many incredible products. The girl could talk about beauty for a year. We've had to whittle it down to about 25 minutes. Also, Lorna Radford's back. She's the cosmetic scientist on the podcast, and she helps us demystify products. So we're talking cleansing oils this episode. We'll talk about a couple of products, one high-end, one lower-end, and also why and how cleansing oils work. So before we get going with the Freya interview, I just wanted to talk about something that I know lots of people can relate to. And it's chin hairs, because I mean, I've been getting hairs on my chin since I was probably 20, maybe even younger. I've got very dark hair and they've always been there. But as I'm getting older, they're getting thicker and longer. Some of them are even curly. Let's not go there. But there's something about them. They're so sporadic. They come up at the most unexpected times. So the other day in the morning, I checked my chin. I do that every day. There was nothing there. By the afternoon, I was at a meeting. I went to the loo and there were two really big, thick ones there. And I just don't understand how that even happened, how a hair can grow that quickly. But there they were. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but you panic because you think, I cannot go out with these chin hairs showing, and you haven't got tweezers, so you're literally trying to pull these hairs out of your chin, which will not come, especially if you've got long nails. You can't get a grip, and you just get really hot and sweaty trying to get these stupid hairs out. So that happened to me, and in the end I just thought, you know what, probably no one's going to notice them. I'll know they're there. And actually, one thing is as well, if you've got chin hairs, you can't stop touching them. You're like, oh my god, I know it's there, and you start touching it. Anyway, yeah, I'm sure no one noticed, but it is a problem. As I'm getting older, they are definitely getting worse. But we're going to move on now to a young lady who is being hailed as the next Adele, or the female equivalent of Ed Sheeran. She hears a song in her head, she goes to the piano, she plays it, she sings, and something about her songs have captured the attention of so many people. She's made it to the top of loads of charts. She's about to go on tour. Her name is Freya Ridings. And as an aside, she is absolutely obsessed with beauty. So for me, the perfect guest to get on the podcast. Hello, Freya.
Hello, Nicola.
It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited because my other job is being a radio presenter, mm-hmm. and we were the first people really to play you on the radio, weren't we?
I know. It was the first time I ever heard my song on the radio, and I freaked out in the back of an Uber, and I'm pretty sure I ruined my rating, but it was worth it.
Well, when I first heard Lost Without You, I didn't know who you were at all. I just heard the song and we played it on Smooth, and I was like, wow, 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 wow. And now suddenly everything's gone a little bit mad for you.
I just keep waiting for it to like just sort of stop, but it hasn't. And I wake up every morning just like, what is this dream? It's absolutely, you know, to have the songs that I wrote like on my own in my front room, to, like to hear them on like Smooth FM and like on the radio, I'm just like all my family just freaking out every time that happens.
Now, the reason you've come on the podcast is because you love beauty, but we
completely obsessed.
Yeah, yeah, and this is all about beauty, but we have to talk about your music story quickly, because I'm really fascinated by it. And you wrote music when you were a lot younger, is this right?
Yeah, I really struggled at school, like academically, because I was like really dyslexic. So with like reading and writing, I just felt completely like sort of disconnected from that side of things. But I loved playing piano. My mum sort of taught me a few chords and I did piano lessons, but my piano teachers were kind of like, you can't play music unless you can read music. And right. I could barely, you know, like struggling to read like normally. So I was like, I can't do it. And they were like, oh no. But they just couldn't really see past that. So I kind of just had to like write my own songs because they literally couldn't teach me anyone else's.
So and at how the time, were you, yeah. When you were writing your own songs, was someone translating the notes onto a page for you?
No.
Oh, so you were doing that all yourself?
I've still, like, there are songs that I've literally have written, recorded and put out that I've never physically written down. Like, I'm just not a pen in hand kind of person. I'm more kind of like, just shut my eyes at the piano and just kind of feel Well, the feeling.
Paul McCartney.
He's one of my biggest inspirations because you just growing up when, you know, people are telling you that this is the way it should be done, you feel so strange if you don't do it that way. So he was a huge inspiration in knowing that you didn't have to be able to read music to play all right. I was very disconnected like at school and I was just, you know, I was tall, I was a redhead. I was just very different from the other kids and I was completely sort of, you know, just used to go to the piano rooms at lunchtime and sort of tell us the stories you would tell to a friend to the piano. And I feel like at the time it was such a sort of time of isolation and it was really hard. But I look back as it was the time that I kind of found out who I was and I really found out the stories that I wanted to sort of sing about and how I felt about things.
Did you have low self-esteem?
I'm really close with my family and I felt like at home I could really be myself and I was kind of, you know, who I truly was. But at school I just seemed to sort of, you know, if you're just not one, if you're kind of different and you stand out in any way, it's just, it's hard at school. It's really hard. And I found sort of sanctuary and kind of music in the piano rooms that if I hadn't have had that, I probably wouldn't have made it through school, really.
It's amazing what music can do, isn't it? It's very, very powerful.
I just feel so lucky that it's the thing that I'm getting to do, like, you know, every day now, because it was, you know, the thing that saved me. So I'm very grateful. Oh.
We've talked about your music, but we're here to talk about your other passion, which is beauty. Now, I want to know, so you've said before, you know, at school you felt a bit geeky, tall, redhead.
Yeah, I was quite big as well.
Were you?
Yeah, I feel like it was almost like a kind of cocoon, like it was a shield to kind of protect myself in a time where I didn't feel very like I could be myself. Yeah. And the second that I left school, it was just kind of like coming out of the cocoon and I could kind of really be myself and enjoy, you know, living in the real world. This kind of still happening slowly.
And I think as you get older you become more confident in who you are and you find yourself, don't you? Find your look and how you want to project yourself. So did you feel from a beauty perspective insecure when you were younger?
I didn't wear makeup to my prom. Like I didn't wear makeup growing up because I always had quite sensitive skin. Like I had eczema when I was like a toddler and it was quite like a hard time. And my mum was like tireless in trying to find a sort of natural cure for it, and she tried so many things and we eventually found this oil that she put in my orange juice and it covered my entire body and it was a really hard time. And I remember how hard she worked to find that and it cured me literally overnight. It stopped and it was like,
wow,
it stopped at like my wrists and it slowly went back and it 3 days it was gone.
What was the oil?
It was starflower oil
cured you
completely. It was insane. And I remember since then always being quite, you know, cautious of what I put on my skin. And I was quite like, I didn't want to wear any makeup. So I was quite a sort of almost tomboy growing up. Yeah. Like I didn't wear like, you know, any kind of girly clothes or I didn't wear makeup or anything at all. So when I kind of started doing music and started around the sort of time of like 19 and I was like playing open mic nights, I see it as almost like a symbol, like of the evolution of your growth as like a person.
Yeah.
And so it's always kind of fascinated me the way people can transform themselves and like, you know, with YouTube and like watching these makeup artists and beauty gurus, it kind of just inspired me to try new things. And I think in turn, it gave me the confidence to pursue the things that I'm doing now. So I'm very grateful to it.
It's almost like putting on a face to the world, like a kind of, this is me now.
It's just how you feel about yourself. And if you feel like empowered and like the best version of yourself, you're going to do more and you're going to be braver and just push yourself that bit further. Yeah,
that's really interesting because for a lot of people, and I've interviewed people before who say they wear their makeup as a mask to hide. But actually what you're is you started wearing makeup when you felt better about yourself.
Yeah, it completely correlated with things changing in my life, like in terms of also like, you know, like exercising and like, you know, writing a diary every night. There are just these little things that sort of anchor you to like the situation and it, especially for like shows as well, like being able to like put on like a glitter eye or like, you know, to make yourself feel like a sort of heightened version of yourself. Because I'm quite a shy person and still going on stage, it does terrify me, you know, that moment before you walk out. But having that sort of ability to transform really inspired me to sort of go further than I thought I could.
How terrified do you feel before you go on stage? Like, are we talking going to be sick, terrified, or just kind of like...
I've been there. I've been there for sure. And the thing that always shocks me is no matter how many times you've done it, no matter how many tours you've been on, if you have a little break, it comes back with the full force of that. It's like, this is literally like you're 12 again, like about to go and play your first open mic. It's like that feeling of being like, oh my God.
And when you get out there, does it disappear?
I mean, I feel like after the first like minute, you sort of get into it and you just remember how many times, you know, you've played these songs and how, especially now the people are so supportive. Like, I always was used to like playing at pubs where you had to win people around. Like, you had to sort of be like, hey guys, like, and play upbeat covers.
And that everyone's was, drunk.
What, yeah, everyone's drunk and a bit sort of disorderly. And like, I was a 13-year-old girl, like, hey guys, like, this is my cover of like Born to be Wild. And they're just like, okay. I think that was one of the reasons why it took me that journey of, you know, trying to give people what I thought they wanted. And then I'd come home after playing these upbeat guitar covers and play all these, like, write all these sad songs on piano. And my mum was the one who was like, have you ever thought about taking those piano songs out into the world? Yeah. And I was like, no, that's like, you know, sharing my diary with people. That's
just weird.
And I feel like it was the moment that I actually accepted myself, who I like truly was.
Yeah.
That the kind of the world did too.
I think we're in a real era of authenticity as well. Mm. When you just, there's no point in pretending. Just like with social media and stuff, just be yourself, and people will either love you or hate you.
Yeah. And if you chase the thing that you think people want and then they don't, you've lost twice. So
quite.
If you hold on to who you are, that's everything.
And I think that works in so many ways. And actually that works with beauty as well. Because it's
completely.
Like, you know, you might have gone through your whole life thinking, I just don't want to wear makeup. I can't be bothered, but you're too scared. So in that situation, bloody do it.
Yeah.
Just don't. Or
just take the leap of faith. Or even like if you wear a lot, just wearing less. Like even that's a leap of faith. It's like just finding the thing that, you know, scares you.
Or alternatively, wear that bright red lipstick you've never had the guts to wear.
I love stuff like that. I really do. Like me and my manager, Emily, we basically just go around the world just trying new beauty and like skincare products and being like, oh, we're obsessed. And like, especially with like traveling and tour, like trying not to look like you have had no sleep is like the kind of goal.
So tell me about that.
To look like you had some sleep.
It must be really interesting. Do you go into, you know, different shops in different countries and find brand new products you've never...
Yeah, we love shopping in America. Like we went on this American support tour and we're obsessed with Sephora.
Oh yeah.
We're obsessed with it. It's one of those funny things where, you know, I wouldn't say I'm like terrible with money, but you suddenly go into one of those shops and you come out and you're like, well, I'm just not going to go anywhere for a few months. But at the same time, it's like, it's kind of part of our career now because, you know, making sure that you feel your best, especially when you're doing so much, is really important to us. And
I can imagine you get so tired and you're jet lagged and you need you need a pep you up, don't you?
Yeah, there are little things you just find that just give you that lift that you need in that moment, and
so
just sort of learning the tricks. Because as we go along, like at the beginning, we were such novices, we had no idea what we were doing. And you learn. We're obsessed with like face sprays.
Yes.
So the Caudalie Beauty Elixir was one of the first face sprays I ever tried. And I remember thinking like, that is a bit bougie like for me. But honestly, when you're like 10 hours into a 12-hour flight and you feel like you're going to like pass out, that just like gives you the little like sort of the peppermint oil. It just sort of wakes you up and it makes your skin feel like alive again.
It's lovely that. And it's got a little glow in it as well.
Like before a show, like after a show, like I have a little one in my bag always.
Do you?
Yeah, literally always. It's in there right now.
It's one of those really iconic beauty products, isn't it? I love it. Love it.
And I adore
it. All the models use it before they go. Like it's a real thing models have in their bag.
Is it?
Yeah. Did you discover this yourself?
I'm like obsessive about watching like different beauty, like, you know, like the Vogue routines, people doing their morning routines and evening routines. Fascinating. It might be one of my biggest like addictions.
Skincare.
Yeah. Like watching what different people do and like their morning routines and like different products they use and seeing like if there's a common denominator between a lot of people. And the Beauty Caudalie Elixir was one of those things where I saw like Rosie Huntington-Whiteley use it and like people that I just loved. And I was like, I've got to try it.
Because there are certain products that will only work on one person's skin. But I think you're right. Things like that are so universal. Mm-hmm. Everybody can use that spray. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because you've obviously got sensitive skin. Mm-hmm. So
hugely.
It must be quite hard for you finding products that you can use without...
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I've kind of got more into it, because the more you know about the ingredients and what you know, put on your face, and I'm a huge fan of Sunday Riley, because it's like, just, that was the first moisturiser I ever tried and I was so scared. I remember putting it on the CEO...
Good Jeans.
No, it was the CEO...
The Vitamin C one.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I was obsessed, but I remember the first night being like, if I wake up and my skin's just like, you know, freaked out because of it, because I've had allergic reactions in the past and I was scared. And it's just also natural. There's like no perfume in it. There's nothing bad. And my skin looked so much better the next day, and, you know, things with lactic acid and like glycolic acid and salicylic acid. It's like, I've really struggled with like... I didn't have like any kind of acne growing up, but like, I don't know, in the past like 2 years, it's become a sort of, not like a battle, but just something to keep an eye on. Because obviously when you're traveling and like you got a lot going on and just making sure that you're eating as healthily as you can, like taking care of my skin has become something that I'm much more obsessed with.
Salicylic is really interesting. Which salicylic do you use?
There was a line of like Murad.
Yeah, that's really good.
I tried the face wash and it's one of those things where before you use it, you're like, is this going to work? And then the next day, like, you know, your acne's kind of disappeared and you're like, this is absolutely crazy. Why did I not know about this before?
We have a cosmetic scientist who comes on this, and she did, so we've talked about salicylic, and she's called Lorna. And so the reason it works so well is because, unlike other acids, it really gets the oil out of your skin, so it's getting right into the pores.
It goes deep, doesn't it?
And like getting anything that causes spots and things like that. But I use Paula's Choice, which is really good as well.
Oh really?
But it's because even though I'm nearly 40, I still get
that.
Oh, I feel it.
You really do not look that.
I get a lot of breakouts, and I think it's weird hours and it's being tired.
Yeah.
And equally, I find it really works for me.
It's always funny. It's always like one of those like video shoot days, or one of those like, you know, you're on TV days that you're like, your skin's like, hello. And you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
But I'm really lucky that I get to work with some incredible makeup artists, and I've learned so much from them.
So like, what have you learned?
So they all seem to have, there's a few things that they always have. They always have like Bioderma, the pink micellar water,
yes.
Always. They all have that. There's also the, it's like the French cream.
On release,
yeah. They always have on release, always. And what's the other one? Oh, they also, for makeup wise, they have the Tom Ford Shade and Illuminate, which is actually next on my list of things to buy. I finally decided I'm going to go for it, because they, universally, they're like, it works for all skin tones, and it's just a stunning product to sort of give
Tom
you a natural
Ford.
Yeah, oh my God,
the makeup is phenomenal.
Oh my God. Yeah, my friend got me like a palette, an eyeshadow palette for my birthday, and I legit almost cried. I was like, this is stunning.
It's so nice. It's so, when you find a really good makeup product, actually usually if it's an expensive one, you're like, oh no, I'm gonna have to keep
no I like
this
it
now.
I know, it's like you kind of get you just kind of descend into it, but it's a true passion of mine, and it's something that I never think about it that much, but I'm very grateful to the kind of confidence it gave me and the boost in the time when I, you know, when there wasn't as much going on. It kind of gave me a boost in confidence that has, I genuinely believe, transformed like my whole life.
That's amazing. It's also kind of like becomes a bit of a hobby, I think, and something.
Oh my God. I don't know what we do on tour. Like on our days off, we just go beauty and skincare shopping and just like try different samples and like, you know, chat
it's
with people.
Become a real, it's like, and you're right, you chat to people and you learn about other people's skincare.
I'm always fascinated in like other people's like holy grail products.
Yeah.
Because I feel like once you, like, you know, get that one-on-one recommendation from someone that you trust, you're like, it's that much more likely to be brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is all about trust and record. I think that's why beauty podcasts in particular are
totally
doing so well, because it is real. It's honest. It's not somebody just saying. I think a lot of influencers.
You've always got to be careful and try and make sure that someone isn't, you know, getting paid to say something.
And I think actually we're in a much better era now because of the hashtag ads.
True.
So you know, you
Very
do
true.
Know. But I think some influencers don't always, you know.
That's like you try and like find out. I'm obsessed with reviews.
Yes.
So like Cult Beauty, Space NK, like, oh my God, like all, like I'm obsessive with reading all the reviews before I go into the shop.
Yeah.
Otherwise I'm in there for like 3 hours at a time just like reading them in the shop, and they're like, do you want something? And I'm like, just reading. Just give me a sec.
Do you enjoy the experience of going into a shop rather than doing it online?
I do both. Like I do like massive like Cult Beauty hauls, and then I like go into Space NK and just spend ages like swatching stuff. And I've really got into like tinted moisturizers recently, and like just because I'm so pale. That was another thing growing up. There was never a foundation pale enough for me. Never.
You see, that's interesting, because I had Rochelle Humes in recently, and we talked about the other end of the spectrum. When she grew up, she couldn't find anything for her skin.
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, because her dad's Jamaican, she's half Jamaican, so they're just not enough colours.
That's like things like Fenty, and like everything's sort of opening up now, and it's so much more inclusive. And like, you know, growing up, I probably would have, you know, tried makeup sooner if I'd have been able to find one that was in my shade.
Yeah.
But even like, you know, the palest of the pale was like orange on me, and I was like, because I am extremely pale, I'm a redhead, and I wear Factor 50 every day of the year. But it's that thing of just trying to find the beauty products that really emphasize who you are naturally.
Yeah. So what is your routine? Tell me. I want to know, because, you know, I want your secrets, Freya.
Well, that's very kind of you. I always feel like, oh, I don't know, like I'm basically like not qualified, but at the same time, I feel like I have learned a lot over the past couple of years.
Well, you've done research.
Yes, we've done a lot of trial and error. I feel like it depends if it's a show day or if we're doing like, you know, something TV. Because if it's something, you know, filmed, I'll normally have a makeup artist, which is a complete joy. And yeah. I love learning off them. And they're just, you know, they're absolute dreams to work with because they know exactly what they're doing. In terms of my own skincare routine, yeah. I'm currently obsessed, and me and my manager are obsessed, with the Sunday Riley cleansing balm, Blue Moon.
Ooh, it's life changing. I haven't tried that yet.
Because I tried every product from Sunday Riley apart from that, because I was like, you know, it's just an expensive cleansing balm. And I tried other ones, and I used to take my makeup off with like wipes. And one of my makeup artists was like, if you do that again, I will legit kill you. And I was like, why? And she was like, that could be one of the reasons why your skin's freaking out so much. And I was like,
they're
really?
Not good. They are not good.
I had no idea it was so bad. And especially like, you know, the ease of it. But I've actually found it to be quicker, like after a show, like getting to the hotel room, like, you know, you've got lashes, you've got like, you know, waterproof stuff on.
Yeah.
It takes it off instantly and it doesn't strip your skin in any way. It's absolutely beautiful.
Is it oil based?
It's a kind of like balm.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not too oily. It's not like the Clinique or the Emma Hardy. It's a lot more like, it's got like blue tansy in it, and it's nice. Got like German chamomile. It's got gorgeous, gorgeous ingredients, and there's nothing bad in it. And I'm on my second pot at the moment, and I've just got one for my manager as like a thank you gift for introducing it to me. We're obsessed with it.
I love it. Okay, so you're doing that with a hot cloth?
Yeah, that's at night. But in the morning, you can also wear it as a mask. Ooh. So what I've been doing is, in the morning, putting that on. It's also got like sort of dissolvable, like natural like sugar crystals in it. So it gives you a little exfoliation.
Oh.
It's gorgeous. And basically, you can leave it on as a moisturising mask. So that's what I do, like 20 minutes in the morning, put it on, and then I take it off in the shower. Then I go into moisturiser.
Yep.
I'm actually at the stage of like, I think I'm going to get a new moisturiser. I'm really obsessed because I know Drunk Elephant has just arrived.
It has.
And we have been trying Drunk Elephant around America for a while. And
what do you think?
I think they're incredible. I think they are amazing. But there's a moisturiser that I've sort of been on the edge of. And now I'm actually thinking I'm going to try it, like the polypeptide like cream. Because they have a thing which is like really, really hygienic. Like you can't put your fingers in the pot. And I love the sound of that. I think that's really amazing. And also their ingredients are just stunning.
Do you know, I very rarely think about how disgusting that potentially is.
Yeah, by the end of the pot, you're like, this isn't good anymore.
Do you know what the worst thing is?
What?
Like as a teenager, I always used to have a pot of like Vaseline lip balm, and the amount of friends you'd be like, do you want some?
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, you're like, oh my God, no wonder I had that sickness bug.
Yeah.
It's so disgusting.
I know exactly that feeling. So that's probably one of those things. I also do like, when it comes to makeup, I'm currently obsessed with Glossier. I feel like that hasn't quite left me yet. I feel like I've done about 8 orders of Glossier. I finally got the sweatshirt because I've literally bought everything. I think they're really, really stunning, and I'm obsessed with I have all of their lip balms, but the birthday cake one is by far my favourite.
Oh, I haven't even seen that.
Have you not? I've got one in my bag.
Have you?
I'll let you try it. Well,
yeah.
It's brand new.
Do you know what we'll do? We'll do a photo of us trying it in a minute. I like their lid stars. I've reviewed that recently.
They're gorgeous, aren't they?
They just don't crease.
They don't move.
They don't.
That's the thing, that you have to blend them super quick. Because one time I didn't, and they just didn't come off, and I was like, oh God. But I love that. There's also, what do I do after moisturiser? Always sun cream. Always sun cream. Factor 50 if I can. And trying to find one that's like a high quality one. So like, because it seems like high factor sun creams for a long time used to make me break out. And I was terrified of them. So trying to find like face ones that, you know, really don't do anything bad.
Did you ever do the thing where you literally as a kid use your Ombre Solaire and just shove it on your face as well? I mean, you're looking at me as if to say, no, I did not, Nicola. I used to do that. My mum used to.
Did you?
Yeah. I literally would get my like whatever sun cream and just shove it on my face and come home a spotty wreck after my holiday. That's why.
I should have worn more SPF. Like, I'm obsessed with watching like people's videos where they're like things that they would tell their younger selves. And I'm like, oh, you learn some stuff. Like, you know, if people have been there and done it. And there were so many women just like, wear SPF and put it all the way down your neck. You'll thank me. And I was like, okay.
No, I never did it. I mean, I never
used to do it as well.
So you obviously, I love this passion you have for beauty. And I
have
think
so
it's,
much. Like giving people makeovers might be one of my like, oh, I love doing people's makeup as well. It's really fun.
It is fun. And I think that I love also the fact that for you, a bit like your music, your makeup and your skincare was it came at a really important time in your life and it kind of sums up who you've become. Mm. One thing though is you're young. I mean, are you in your early 20s?
24.
So you're in your early 20s. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested to see, like, you're using a lot of products.
I've had to scale it down because I feel like I was using too many at one point. Like, I legit have, like, a whole shelf where I'm now like, I only use very, I stripped it back a lot.
Mm.
I feel like I went a bit mad. It's like that thing where you grow up like not using any and then you kind of go the other way and you buy everything and you're like, oh my God. But I've kind of scaled it back into like a very few sort of like holy grail like skincare and makeup products. And I have less time now to get ready on days. So it's actually good that it's quicker, like tinted moisturizers and like not always doing like a cat eye every day. It's just a bit more.
I love a cat eye, by the way.
I love a cat eye.
You do a good cat eye. Do you do that yourself?
Thank you.
What's your liner of choice?
Kat Von D tattoo liner is hands down the best eyeliner I've ever used.
Okay.
Down.
This is a good recommendation.
And every single time I go to Sephora, I literally went around America and every city they were sold out because we were on tour and I was like, we have to go and try again. And my manager was like, again? And I was like, yep. Because I can't do a show without it. I was like, I need my winged liner.
It's I love a winged liner. A lot of people always say to me, a lot of men actually, older men are like, what's that on your eye? I'm just like, shut up, that's my look.
It's like that Brigitte Bardot kind of like 60s. Oh, I
think everyone can do a cat eye.
Yeah. It takes practice, though.
How do you feel? I mean, it's so hard to ask you when you've got beautiful young skin. But how would you feel about, in the future, things like Botox and, you know, keeping your youthful looks? Or do you just feel that you just enjoy skincare?
I feel like prevention is always better than cure. And I think that's why, like, especially with the kind of high stress life that so many like, you know, young women are leading, that we're kind of more like thinking ahead, like, you know, even like 20 years ago, like it was like, you know, smoking and drinking and now it's like, you know, who can have as many like Pilates and like green smoothies, like something's flipped and almost like looking after yourself has become the thing that's cool. And I didn't used to look after myself at all. And now it's like slowly sort of building into my lifestyle, like, you know, sun cream. And like, I do like Pilates, like in the mornings, like even like in my hotel room, like I do like a little video. Have you heard of Ballet Beautiful?
No.
Oh my God. Well, basically it's this lady called Mary Helen Bauer. And she does these sort of Pilates like ballet inspired workouts that you can do anywhere. And because I travel so much, like there's not really an opportunity to, you know, go to a gym or anything. And I just like to, I think it sort of gives me sort of a mental clarity and a calmness that I really, really need at the moment. And it's better for your skin and it's better for just everything. Yeah.
Oh, Freya, it's been so, I could talk to you all day and I want the Freya beauty. Can you write a song that lists all your best beauty products? I know it's a bit shallow, but
I would love to do like, I think I might start doing videos of, like, Get Ready With Me and stuff.
Yeah, you must. Oh, you've been a pleasure to chat to.
Thank you, Nicola.
So that was the wonderful Freya Ridings, and definitely watch this space because I truly believe she's going to be as big as Adele. I think this time next year I'll be like, oh my goodness, I had Freya in the studio. So yeah, she's wonderful. Somebody else who is wonderful is Lorna Radford. Now, I decided to get a cosmetic scientist on this podcast because everyone's really into ingredients, and a lot of us, you know, we learn about them online but we don't really, really understand them, and that's me included. There's so much more than meets the eye, and also I think sometimes we use our products maybe not quite correctly. So we mix ingredients we shouldn't, and we need to learn. I think, and it's a really interesting thing to learn about. So Lorna is here to teach me and also to teach you. And this episode, we're talking about something I use a lot, and that's cleansing oil. So Lorna, something that has risen in popularity so much recently is cleansing oil, which I really enjoy using. I love the experience, and I find a cleansing oil always takes off my makeup really well. And what I wanted to do is talk a bit about cleansing oils and also look at a more high-end oil from Tata Harper and then a more affordable option from L'Oreal, and just have a look at their ingredients and what you think of both of them.
Sure.
Yeah, so tell me, what, you know, are cleansing oils a good option?
Imagine waking up, applying your makeup at the beginning of the day and then going about your day. You want your makeup to last all day and be sweat resistant.
Yeah.
So the way we do that is to actually make them oil based, or we put film formers in them that make them stick to the skin so they don't rub about. And then throughout the day as well, you're going to be secreting sebum, so your face might feel a bit greasy by the end of the day. And you're also quite likely to be wandering around picking up pollutants, so car fumes, smoke, especially in an urban environment. So if you imagine now you've got this nice mix of makeup, sebum, pollutants that all cause long-term damage sitting in a nice mix on your poor skin, I feel like you want to wash your face right now.
Oh yes, I'm feeling. I mean, I've come home after a day in London, and when I've washed my face, and this isn't due to eye makeup, It's black. I mean, there is actual dirt you can see coming
London's
off.
London's particularly gross for that, isn't it?
But
the great thing to cleansing oils and oil-based cleansers is that essentially like dissolves like. So if you imagine with oil painting, you dilute the oil paints with more oil. And it's kind of a similar principle here where we've got a lot of oil-based dirt on our skins. So cleansing oils help to solubilise and actually lift that oily dirt from the skin.
I read somewhere that if you naturally have oily skin, there's no harm at all in using an oil-based cleanser to cleanse it. It's not going to exacerbate the problem. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, so the oil-based cleansers are designed to be rinsed off afterwards. So it's not like you're putting oil onto the skin and then just leaving it to sit there. You're putting it on, massaging the oil from naturally from your skin, and then it's all being rinsed off afterwards. Yeah.
Do you also, just quickly, do you think a double cleanse is a must after a day in a city like London?
I mean, I'm half Korean, and the whole double cleanse thing is sort of part of a traditional Korean skincare routine.
Yes.
So it's kind of built into me. But I think it's a great idea because you get the opportunity then to lift all the makeup and oil-based dirt first, and then really thoroughly cleanse the skin to remove any remaining oil and things, sort of giving it a second chance.
And do you, from your kind of Korean traditions, would you use an oil-based cleanser twice, or would you then go on to use a cream-based cleanser?
Quite often you'd use an oil-based cleanser first and then maybe a surfactant cleanser, so like a foaming cleanser or something afterwards.
Okay, cool. Right, for our high-end option, we're going to have a look at the Tata Harper Nourishing Oil Cleanser. I'm a big fan of Tata. Everything is natural and vegan, and the ingredients seem to be very well thought out, but it is very expensive.
So the Tata Harper Nourishing Oil Cleanser contains a lot of plant oils such as rosehip, sunflower, apricot and jojoba, which all come up the top of the ingredients list. And these plant-based oils tend to contain compounds that have various skin benefits. So, for example, the rosehip oil contains beta-carotene, which is pro-vitamin A. And they'll also contain some content of essential fatty acids. So, for example, omega-3 and omega-6 oils, which can help with skin barrier. Oil-based serums tend to use a lot of these plant oils and things as well for the similar reasons.
I was going to say, with a cleanser, you're obviously putting it on and washing it off. So are you getting any of the benefits of these ingredients?
I do wonder that, because there's some element that I assume some of it will be left on the skin afterwards, but the whole point of the product is to be rinsed off afterwards. So I don't know how much would actually be left on the skin.
Okay.
But I guess the problem with vegetable oils, if you were just using them alone, is they'd feel quite greasy. Vegetable oils, if you think of cooking oil, it's quite a heavy, sticky material. The third ingredient on the Tata Harper ingredients list is called shea butter ethyl esters. Mm. Shea butter is used everywhere in skincare. It's got quite a lot of skin benefits, but it's normally quite a rich, greasy butter. Shea butter ethyl esters is a modified version of that where it's been reacted with ethanol. So if you imagine you've got the skin benefits of shea butter, but actually in the form of something that feels almost as light as alcohol, just think of the strongest drinking spirit you can. And so that actually helps to reduce the overall greasiness of the product because you've got this really light spreadable oil, and it will also then help to spread it across the face easily to help with the cleansing.
And is it hard to do that with the shea butter?
I believe it's a particular modification that one manufacturer makes, actually, that they sell into lots of different products in the industry.
Okay, so that's a really nice product, really natural. Now, the L'Oreal product, which is a lot cheaper, I was slightly concerned. I bought it and then I looked at the inky list, and the first ingredient was mineral oil. Now, there's such a debate about mineral oil. I mean, a lot of people just won't touch it. They say it's bad for your skin. It can give you blemishes. Would L'Oreal make a product that was going to be bad for your skin?
No, so all cosmetic products that are sold in Europe have to pass a safety assessment.
Yeah.
So you can be safe in the knowledge that it won't be doing anything toxic or anything to the skin. Mineral oil is the general inky name that is given to a number of different hydrocarbon compounds. So you can get sort of very light mineral oil to quite heavy mineral oil.
So a light mineral oil might not be too bad for the skin and actually could be very handy for someone who's wearing heavy makeup, for example.
Particularly in a cleansing oil as well, because it will be designed to rinse off the skin afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's not even sitting on your skin afterwards.
Okay, brilliant. So what else is going on with this L'Oreal? Let me give you the full name. Hang on. It's the L'Oreal Paris Extraordinary Oil Facial Cleansing Oil.
It's a really interesting product type, actually. So from the name, you'd assume it's just a mixture of oils. But if you actually look at the ingredients list, water appears on it. So even though it looks like a standard clear cleansing oil, it's actually what we call a microemulsion, where there is a key ingredient, which appears about halfway down the list, called PEG20 glycerol triisostearate. And when that ingredient is combined with the correct mixture of oils and water, it actually forms really, really tiny water droplets that are so small you can't actually see them. So the product still looks clear, which is different from normal emulsions. If you think of creams and lotions, that sort of typical opaque white emulsion. So this is a much smaller droplet. But it's quite interesting because then not only do you have the oil in the product to help lift oily dirt from the skin, but you have also got some water which you'll be massaging around the skin as well, so potentially helping to lift any water-based dirt as well.
Okay, so that's really, really handy. And are there any love, you know, in the Tata Harper we had the beautiful plant-based oils. Is there anything like that in the L'Oreal option?
So I think the L'Oreal one has less of a focus on natural and the sort of marketing stories, but actually having mineral oil and the other top ingredients such as light esters are very stable, so they can't really oxidise, it won't really go rancid or go off, so it should be really stable and have a good shelf life, which is actually very good for sort of ensuring the safety of the product to the end consumer.
Ah, the lovely Lorna Radford. By the way, if you want to ask Lorna a question, this is going to be a new feature in future episodes. If you just go to the Instagram at Outspoken Beauty Podcast, in the highlighted stories, there's a section where you can put a question for Lorna. And then I promise you, I will ask her in a future episode. So, you know, she will answer your questions. She is a fountain of knowledge. Right, it is time for some recommendations. And this episode, I have been going mad for makeup. I've tried some really, really good makeup in the past month or so. So I need to share it with you. Now, my first one is my dream lipstick. I've been searching for years for a lipstick that I am really, really happy with. Yeah, I've talked about it before. I just don't have much confidence when it comes to lipsticks. And I suddenly came across my dream colour, and it is Revved Up Red. It's Benefit, and it is their They're Real Double the Lip. Now, it's called Double the Lip because it is a lip liner and lipstick in one. So that the pointy bit, you need to see this actually. I'm going to try and explain. It's like a teardrop where the lipstick comes out, and the point of the teardrop is a liner, so you can use that bit around your lip, and actually I use it on the whole lip. And then the bottom bit is the lipstick, which is a little bit lighter. And Revved Up Red is this kind of perfect corally red, and it is so brightening. And I've tried this on a few friends, and we're all kind of we're all quite different complexion wise, and it's worked on all of us. It's beautiful. They've got really nice colours in the range, actually. I've also tried their orange one, which is delicious. So I really recommend this. I think it's about 17 quid, which isn't too bad at all. It's a lovely lipstick. And I like Benefit. I feel they're always just one step ahead. They're always doing really fun, really original beauty products. So yeah, love them. Now, another brand that is always really buzzy, really new, really fun is Charlotte Tilbury. And I feel like Charlotte has a new product out every single day. There's always something happening. The one I've been trying for the past few weeks is the Bar of Gold palette. It's delectable. It's so nice. You've got your palette with three shades of highlighter. One of them is gold, one of them is rose gold, one of them is copper. If they were real metals, it would be worth a lot of money. It still costs a lot of money. It's £49 for this thing, but it's so pretty. And on the cheek, these highlighters are gorgeous, really, really gorgeous. I mean, there are loads of highlighters on the market. These are really good quality, but I think the unique selling point of this is just how beautiful the palette is. So if that's your thing, and if you have got a bit of money to spend, buy it, because it's just a lovely thing to have. It's a lovely, lovely thing to have. Now, finally, and I'm aware, I feel really bad actually, because this is again, not the cheapest, and it's another treat. But if you want a really, really good eyeliner for your top lashes, you cannot do much better than the Tom Ford Eye Defining Pen in Deeper. That's the one I've gone for. £46, but it is another really, really beautiful product. It's like a gorgeous calligraphy pen and it goes on smoothly. It's quite effortless. If you find doing your top lash quite difficult, this is definitely the product for you. Again, there are loads of products like this on the market. Another one I love is the Bobbi Brown gel liner, which comes in a pot with a little brush. That's a lot cheaper and it's very good in its own right. But this one, the Tom Ford one, it really does do what it says. It's eye defining. It's very good. You get a really neat, beautiful line. So if you're into your 60s style flick, I think, yeah, if you've got that amount of money to spend on a makeup product, you could do a lot worse. So there you go. Three products that I am loving. Plenty more where that came from. And don't forget, if you want all the latest on what I've been testing and what's going on, do follow us on Instagram at Outspoken Beauty Podcast. And our website, where you have links to everything that our guests and I mentioned during the episode. And that's outspokenbeauty.co.uk.